And we're going to take your phone calls when we come right back with Brett Butler, her life in the paranormal world. She's a New York Times bestseller as well, Knee Deep in Paradise. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're with Grace Under Fire, sort of, Brett Butler. Are you still doing stand-up?
Yeah, I just started doing it again. Garrett Morris has a comedy club, and he's a friend of mine. And Garrett and Kevin's club is my favorite place to do it because I always have a good band there and stuff. And yeah, I really like it, and I like what I'm writing. But I like that they're laughing when I'm even between things.
Do you write your own material?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Always did.
Always did. Yeah.
That's great.
I'm lucky. It just comes out. Yes.
Worst feeling for a comedian: they're on stage, do the joke. Nobody laughs.
No, not if you're as crazy as I am, because I remember when I did the George Carlin bit when I was 8 and they didn't laugh, and I remember thinking, you don't get it. Well, Chris Rock has the best line about that. He goes, no comedian will continue to do a joke that doesn't get laughs. I think when I started in 82, comedy was like the new vaudeville. It was great. And, you know, whoever thought, I mean, Reagan was president. Everybody was doing Reagan and Jack Nicholson and The Shining joke. You know, I still remember people's bits and, you know, how much fun it was. And there was a sense of collaboration with audiences. I think now they're really jaded. I hope comedies do for a new resurgence. And I'm talking about some real subjective, revolutionary material.
Who's your favorite comedian, Brett?
Richard Pryor, probably. Richard Pryor was amazing, and I hate to sound like an old guy, Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor. I don't think anybody, you know, his Sunset Strip album, when he talks about something personal, it's universal, and vice versa. I think one of the worst things to happen to comics is political correctness. I'm not talking about hate fest or things that just aren't funny. Yeah. For example, comedians tell me about Lisa Lampanelli, and they go, you won't like her, and she says this and that. Well, when I watched her, I went, you can't translate. She has love. She has love in her. That's why Rickles was funny.
Sure.
People
say he's classic.
He's great. Yeah. He's wonderful. And people just have to be their own bossy selves, because the alternative is just, you know, props and puppets, people. Come on.
So you've just wrapped up 100 episodes.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't on all of them.
No, I played. I'm very grateful to Charlie. He was very sweet. They gave me a job as his bartender.
Right.
And I want to tell people that it was just on the show. I'm not giving Charlie Sheen alcohol.
What's it like working with him?
Well, I think Charlie, I'm not just saying this, he really is a genius, and I love him, the person. He's a very powerful, intelligent, huge-hearted human being. Who he is, apart from stardom, is so substantial, and I want him to have things that, projects, art projects that accommodate his wingspan. And if I can sound, I don't care if it sounds egotistical. I relate to him. I understand. I'm a creative, and yeah, I have. And I will also say that Charlie has done it graciously, and he has just a sense of whoever's in the room. I feel what he's feeling. He notices things. He does amazing things for people on the sly that people don't know about, and he's a master.
Yeah.
His whole family works over there. I know his family. They're wonderful people. They're great.
His dad's fantastic.
He is.
Great actor.
He's wonderful. He used to get arrested every year in Columbus, Georgia for, you know, like civil disobedience. It's awesome.
So this gift you have, that we all have, you've been able to magnify it.
Which gift, George? I have so many.
That's right. Are you glad you can do what you do?
Yes, I wish that I hope to be more resourceful with it, and I'm really looking for a way to couch it. I think it's real important that I push this through a filter that's of the best intention. I have the highest intention, and I don't come out that way. We're all human beings. We have resentments. We have wishes. Things aren't enough, and I go, if this is the highest good, you know, well, that's when I tell people, really, if you did readings, they'd all be boring, because they really do say, hey, guess what? They were sorry if they didn't show up or if they hurt us outright.
Yeah.
Please get along with each other, and we'll see you real soon, because they're just in another room. This is a hard school, this skin business, this life we have. So I just have to roll over and forgive, all of us do, until we get it right. And then we're tested when things that really can and should outrage us. And that's where some people I know who don't, I like, okay, I'll just say, There's a woman on television who makes a really good living by keeping outrage alive, Nancy Grace. Mm-hmm. But Nancy and I have so much in common, I looked at her and went, do I want to be that scab-ripping harpy? Do I want to be, and just get people to, yes, she's right, and yes, somebody did a bad thing. And I can't believe, you know, she has somebody on TV just to go, you terrible person, you stabbed that woman in the head 28 times. And I'm like, when did he become terrible, after the 26th time?
Or the second.
Exactly. So my mother calls it joining the Get Over It Club. There are people that have endured and are enduring incredible outrages in their lives. So, you know, if we can all just, you know, it's easier said, comfort people and move along, and dead people only come back to help us get out of these little skids. They really have, I think they're supposed to be in higher schools. Like, a friend of mine lost her mother, and she said, I put flowers on her grave. Did she see me? And I go, well, yeah, because you were grieving. But she's really around you when you're feeding the hummingbirds, or when you got out that hat box. And she goes, how did you know about the hat box? And I go, oh, I'm psychic. if we look in the least likely places, and that's another thing, people give psychics too much power. A friend of a friend has been texting me, what do you see, and this and that. First of all, the future is always changeable. Second of all, the idea of some gypsy with a crystal ball is so... You're giving someone the steering wheel to your life. And most of the people that have the biggest need to know are the people who already know the answers.
Indeed. You ready for some calls?
Sure.
They're lining up from all over.
Hello, boys and girls.
I'm going to give you the first choice of the first caller. A caller from Michigan, Hawaii, South Carolina, Massachusetts, California, or Ohio. Where would you like to go?
Michigan, I'm going to take, because that's what came to mind.
All right, let's go to Flint,
hometown.
Michigan. Hi. Jess, you're with us. Hey, Jess, go ahead. You're on with Brett Butler.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jess. Is it Jess?
Yep.
Hi.
Yeah. I had to take it off the speaker. I'm sorry I didn't. It wasn't immediate. But anyway, I wanted to ask a couple questions. You just finished saying, you know, people kind of hand their lives over to psychics. And one of the things I wanted to ask was, you know, so just I want to say in the short conversation, what kind of thoughts or feelings come to mind with regard to me? But then I do subscribe to many of the same thoughts and feelings that you have expressed, you know, all things.
You have a bunch of good stuff coming in, but you've got some pesky, I'm just going to do this, what Angela, Hillbilly Psychic, told me to do.
You don't work at
a salon or anything, do you?
No.
Okay, there's some women around you. There's like two of them, and I'm not saying in their family. It's like you need to skip over them. I see you bounding over them to get to your real friends, if that makes sense. You're just very alive. And this sounds so, I can't stand this stuff when I hear psychics say this. You're very alive, and I don't know what class it is that you're supposed to sign up for, but you have a bunch of insight and information to give, and you're not plugged into giving it. That's the overwhelming feeling I have about you, that I like you, and you don't really have enough people on your own level to discuss this stuff with.
Well, FYI, well, just as you mentioned that, I just signed up for a program management professional class. I'm an engineer by profession, but...
You're supposed to be working around people, yeah.
I've been an herbalist and an iridologist and a natural healer for 30 years, which I do kind of on the side because I can't seem to make enough money at that to support myself.
That's interesting that you have a real job and you look at people's irises. That's really cool.
Brett, do you sense that nowadays people are just acting weird? Strange.
I think we just have access to all the people. Like, everybody has other people at their thumbs. We're always watching other people's videos and pictures. I think to remove the technology, I think everybody needs to learn the Morse code. I know that sounds crazy, this off the grid thing. And I love that you have paid attention to it, and that people in the, not in the, yeah.
God, you really do listen.
I'm too old to fake it, George.
birthday coming up in a month.
Yeah. And with everything in Leo, you know, I'm an Aquarius, but, yes, they are. But, I think there's an authentic baseline to people. that is not attached to any religion. It's like, it sounds like box music, you know, when I hear it all. I love people so much. I think that's why I do comedy. Just the idea that I laugh.
You love that connection.
The unexpected laugh that's in a room full of strangers. And I don't care if the lights are low and alcohol helps juice it along. That's great. And I think that connecting with spirit has been my bigger dream that was even unspoken before that. Ever since I was a little girl, I have seen and felt people's emotions and what they needed and how they were hurt. And I just wanted that to feel better, you know, and particularly the healers of the world. The idea that people are jockeying for position about this stuff is disheartening. You know, there's a certain group of people who are yoga, Kriya Yoga, and there's a big divide between them. And that is ostensibly the most enlightened you can be is the Kriya Yoga Shaktipati thing, yeah. You know, you can get, but they're fighting over who can give you that thing. So I think your job in the psychic end, I'm sorry, Jess, is bigger than those things. It'll wash over you if you stop to think like how big your gifts are. I think it's real interesting. That's where that one foot on one iceberg of engineering and one on, I wish they'd come up with something besides New Age, because that's the phrase.
Let's go to Mike in San Diego, west of the Rockies. Michael, you're up with us.
Hi there. Hi, George, and hi, Brett.
Hi, Mike. Happy New Year.
Oh, wow. I loved your show. I thought it was realistic, Grace Under Fire, and always wondered where you went, but I wasn't real tuned in at that point in my life.
I wasn't either.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so nervous, and I'm so excited. I saw you on a ghost show, and that was really interesting to me. Too.
They wanted me to lie and say I saw the ghost, and I finally
and
blurted
you didn't
it out.
See one,
no,
right?
I said, I see dead people every day, but I didn't see a ghost.
Oh, so you lied?
No, they wanted me to. No, it's a true ghost story.
She won't lie. She'd
they
never
really
lie.
Wanted me to say that I saw the ghost, and there were so many interesting aspects of it that I thought that was right. Enough. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was really, really interesting. Yeah, I thought you were honest during that. Okay, I want to ask you about myself because I'm starting to scare my friends and myself. I'm getting stuff all the time, and I'm writing it down. I'm sending it to friends.
Uh-huh.
One of them was the Malaysian plane. I saw red on the tail and all this stuff, and then the crash happened a year later. So how do I hone this?
You know, we're all doing this together. I can see why you'd be scaring people. You probably have to. Are you near a city in Colorado? Because Colorado's got all kinds of cool people.
He's in San Diego.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Colorado. Oh, well, then you're around. You know what? There's spiritualist. I'm not an ad for anything, but spiritualist churches. In England, there's one every 3 meters. And for some reason in America, there aren't as many. They have, to me, just such a humble circle of people who are gifted and believers. And we're talking really laid back now. It's called unfoldment. We are all novices, especially the ones with the biggest neon signs in their windows. It's very hard. If you say, I have these gifts, and your next thought is, I would like to make a living from it, a struggle will ensue. I'm not saying people shouldn't be remunerated for it. I'm just saying that where love conspires to multiply, adversarial energies can emerge. So, you know, you sound like you're gifted, but the fact that you know you're a student is real important. I am, too.
Mike, thanks for the call. Next up, we go to Rebecca. She's out there in South Carolina. Hello, Rebecca. You're on with Brett Butler. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you? I'm Rebecca.
Hey, hi, Rebecca.
Brett.
Hey.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I just want to call in. Brett, I was kind of really surprised to hear that you had saw a UFO in your life. And I just want to say, I always thought that I was the only one because I saw one. And I knew what I saw. I was only 13. I saw an image in the sky that it was really shaped like a flying saucer. But the thing was, it was green, like a neon green. It was two-tone green, but it just kept floating. And me being 13, I was kind of ignorant about it. So I just kind of like stayed long enough, maybe 30 minutes, and it just sat there.
That's a long time. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You can go, I'll tell you, online, and there's so many, because, you know, the internet's great. You can see all these pictures. I finally saw one like the one I saw, and it helped me.
Do Did you think it was man-made or
no? Not for a second. No, it was no, and I still don't. It was enormous, and the way it hovered in this way, I can't even describe it. When it went away, nothing moves this fast. Nothing, and especially 30 years ago.
You know, they're taking us.
I don't know. I love John Mack.
They're
I'm a big
us.
John Mack fan.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
Rest his soul. And at the end of his life, he was studying after-death communication.
You got to visit some of these UFO conferences that I speak at.
I would love
place.
To. I've They'd started to stalk you at Joshua Tree. I started to go over there. And
you didn't show up there.
No, I've really been. This is my coming out of the closet. And by the way, everyone, the three people who have called, I do know this. All of you are. You're getting things in dreams and visions, and I love this feeling. I love that I'm feeling I'm not alone, but you're not anymore either. All this stuff is connected in some place.
There's no question.
It's like, I don't know what animals bring, and I love that. I'm probably going to have to be dead to figure out that I have all these like miniature gods around me trying to go just, if all I'm learning is the holiest thing I do is pick up after them, then good, I've done something.
So you are, without a doubt, a believer in life after death.
Oh, yes.
In all that now.
I believe in life before death, even.
That's nice.
Yes, I do. I'm weird, though. I don't think everything that we don't know what it is in the sky is extraterrestrial. I think people are
probably
often
not.
Way too quick to jump at that. And to some of many skeptics, I would say that you are so assiduously against this, I notice how scared you are walking through cemeteries with you.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me that there's nothing out there, I love, again, feeling protected, but I also, I'm not stupid. I don't go in places that are, designed for fright. And people need to be careful with that. Even if you do with disbelief, but with sincerity, just look up protection. They're angels are for that, and they can't do anything unless we ask. And we've all had those moments when we've been saved from death's door, literally. I mean, there are too many to describe. Miracles imply scarcity. But I think what would be great is if people started seeing how many happen all the time around us.
You should pop on once in a while here and do some psychic stuff for the masses of listeners.
I'd love to. And I have to tell you, I'm perfectly okay. It's like, look, for every person, I feel bad for famous psychics because when they don't get it,
they crushed.
Can't, but they won't admit it. A lot of them won't admit it. They just, I'll tell you who's been real helpful to me is Andrew Barone, who works with George Anderson.
Right.
I had a cat die, this is a long time ago, and was so grief-stricken. I went to George's site about animal grief. He has a ministry, and he's funny. Andrew tells me, and this is what's funny, because I've always said all psychics are not mediums, but all mediums are psychic. And George says he's not. He says George had a horrible illness when he was a child, and this was given to him. By the way, there's sort of a trifecta for psychic ability, and it's severe physical illness, emotional trauma, and imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm. All three.
And I had them. I didn't think about it because I don't walk through life the sum of bad things that have happened to me. And if I could name one thing that being psychic might help people with, it's that moving through that people are frozen, like skipped records in painful moments of their lives. It makes them unable to forgive. It makes them live in, that's what's called post-traumatic stress. They're not post the trauma. They're reliving it every day. And if psychics could get together to try and collectively unburden people, I think the goal of psychic things, and I'm selfish. I want to know what's in my future. And, will I meet that lunatic that'll be my third husband? That kind of thing.
Stay with us. We're coming back with Final Calls with Brett Butler in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we're going to come back in just a moment with Brett Butler and take your final phone calls here as we talk about her work, her life in the paranormal realm. Hey, by the way, have you had a chance to watch our TV show Beyond Belief? You can. You can watch it for free for a number of days. You simply go to our website, beyondbelief.com. It is that simple. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. So often the case, more calls than time. Boy, you just ate up the clock. Didn't it go by fast?
I just love this night. Thank you so much. It's just, I think it's going to be such a great new year. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's 2015.
I feel like I'm in your Coast to Coast family. I mean,
you are.
I love these calls. I listen to you every night. I haven't ever been able to get in on the phone, so I just love that I'm here.
I'm glad you're not the baseball player.
Me too, because I'm taller than he is.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our Skype caller, Chuck in Ocala, Florida. Chuck, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, George. This is Chuck. I've talked to you a few times.
Sure.
In China and India building steel mills. And I'm celebrating 19 years of sobriety.
Hey, Chuck. Happy New Year. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, too. It's great to hear from you. Sobriety and recovery is such a wonderful part of my life.
You know what? Things get so interesting when I took my hands off the wheel of all that stuff. Like the universe, oh gosh, you know, fills your arms up. Just be patient and hang out with nice people who are sober. It really is interesting. It's not a death sentence, y'all.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I could see God's hand in my life, not in the headlights that we only use automotive analogies there. I could see him in a rearview mirror.
I felt his foot in my butt before kicking me.
Exactly. Like I've seen, you know, I look back in my life and I could see all the recovery miracles that have happened. And sometimes the road ahead isn't real clear, but I just do the next right thing. And simple philosophies, that's all.
Thank you. You know, like so many people don't do it because they're afraid of all the, like, there's some real hardcore people that make anything not fun. They probably weren't fun to drink with, and they're certainly not fun to get sober with. If you don't like them, find the fun ones. Life's short, find them and live. You know, because I think a bunch of people, this is just my thing, I think we're mystics that are lazy or in a hurry. So it's just easier to grab a bottle, and later on, when the voices come back, you'll, you know you're not crazy.
What has been for you, Brett, the most satisfying paranormal experience ever? Something that happened to you that just illuminated you?
Well, there's someone in my life who's very close to me, and this person is immensely religious. This person happens to be spiritual, too, and those things can be mutually exclusive. I wanted to tell this person that I was doing this, and I thought, it's very special. It's important to me. It's not something that goes away. And you know, for every person who runs away rolling their eyes, there's somebody that's going to, you know, I'm outing myself for a reason. Mm-hmm. Well, when I told this person, I could feel this resistance and fear and all this demon stuff come up, and I had to tell. And then I wanted to tell the person that she was more psychic than I am. And the moment I told her, I saw this look of relief cross her face imperceptibly almost. And then I looked at her and said, there's about 100 people behind you right now. She's a very powerful person in her personal life. And I said the name of one person, and it happened to be someone I'd never met, and that was the 10-year anniversary of the date of his death. And he was there. And this person struggles with a whole lot of things, and I think it wasn't because I was right. I think I gave someone who walks around with a lot of voices and a lot of suffering and has tried to wedge all this in religion, and spirit is so much bigger. There's a friend of mine says, Jesus is the bird and church is a cage, whatever. I think it relieved her. And if I can tell anybody anything, what has been most powerful for me have been, how do I put this? A bunch of people I meet have forgiven so many things that have happened to them. So ironically, when someone crosses over in spirit and they see the forgiveness and acceptance in someone that they have wronged or not shown up for, they gasp. And your forgiveness and acceptance sort of, in a way, saves that person from hell. I believe most people can't get our heads around how much God loves us. He's not waiting to kick our butts when we get home. Hell is complete cognition of the times we've been mean or abandoned or whatever we've done. So, ironically, those people show up in gray. That's what apology. And if you feel like strength, like rough trade has your back, they do. They pull up chairs and try to... Your forgiveness helps ramp them up. It's what Char told me, actually, the first time I met her. She goes, your dad says, thank you for forgiving him. It helps lift him up, and I know it helps me. So it's not that I give that gift to someone. Every time I get it, I'm reminded that when I get over a slight or I help someone else do it, And some of us are harder headed than others. We just require spiritual visits. Sure. That's the thing where it does and doesn't have to do with extraterrestrial things. I heard a guy on some show, they blacked out his face, and he goes, "They're evading our radar." And I go, "Dude, they've been here. They could pinch our little heads off."
They've probably seeded us. I believe that theory.
Well, yeah, but I think somewhere in there, they're not like angels. They're not allowed to really mess with the game plan. They can't make us skip go and not collect $200. That I think they probably have had stuff to do around nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
sure.
could. We're like probably, you know, you ever had an ant farm when you were a kid?
I used to love it.
Well,
love them.
Don't you think we're kind of an ant farm someplace, maybe?
I sure do.
You know.
Let's go to Travis, Dayton, Ohio, first-time caller. Travis, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Travis.
I have some addiction problems and depression problems and problems interacting with people. And I was wondering if maybe you might send some kind of demon around me, or maybe I'm just...
The opposite of it. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah? The opposite
right.
of that. You have just such a bright light around you. And you probably know, I'm not a commercial for anything, but you probably know that there's some real loving outreach. And I'm not talking about... anything that costs you money, I'm talking there is a way, a day at a time, you can walk towards the light. And do me a favor, do yourself the favor, just even saying the word demon, don't put gas in the tank of a truck that's not even there. You just think about, look, angels are mighty. I used to think they all look like Hallmark cards or God Bless Kathy Lee, that they were all like her and going to sing some real sweet song. But they're interesting and unique, and you've got guardians, too. And no, science has not proven this, but I can promise you that all that comes across is light right now, and you reaching out is proof of that.
And, Travis, why do you think you have these demons around you?
I don't know. I just always kind of just feel weighed down all the time. I'm reading your book right now, Worker in the Light.
That's a great book. You're fighting that.
I try to keep trying to radiate light around myself and other people. I don't know if it's working, though.
You know, I want to just point out something basic, and it's smart people know this. I know you're smart. That things we consume that change our consciousness can function as depressants. So we become addicted to things that we're allergic to. And I did it till the wheels came off. I know what it's like to just do that perfect combination of chemicals until I get to the point of understanding and no pain. When we lose that combination, it's a little bit sticky to jump to the other side, but I can promise you there's one thing in life I know is that what's ahead without that stuff is wilder than your best dreams, and you've got some good dreams.
Your advice is pretty darn good to these folks.
I've done everything that I shouldn't do, and I have a pretty...
You've been there, done
I have,
that.
I've paid dearly in every way for this information, so it's my pleasure to tell people that it will not cost them anything except a longer life if they opt for this way. And as I said, I'm glad I didn't die because it would have made the wrong people happy.
Who was for you the most influential person that, even though I think you turned yourself around... yourself, was there that one person who was there for you?
No, I have been mighty lucky with an array. Probably my mama.
Yeah.
I mean, I basically the world's in two groups: people that got sugar and the people that didn't get sugar. And I got it, and I remembered it, and I'm worth it. And there's a lot of people that didn't, and it's not too late in your lives to claim it. And that's what spirituality is to me. It's serving people beyond what you might have had or not had. I've seen, and it's a cliche to say I've sat across the table from people, some of the richest people in the world. They're some of the loneliest, most frightened, cut off.
Unhappy.
Discouraged. Yeah, controlling. It's terrible, you know, to have as much, and to hear the holy sound of my head leaving my nether regions, you know, is... I only do it when I'm caring about somebody else, like the kid Travis that's just on the phone.
Yeah.
All I sensed from that person was so much compassion for other people and then skipping the part for himself.
That's right.
And as they tell me, it's to do anything for anybody else, you kind of have to be selfish. So I hope he is, because it's a really nice person.
We're going to Boston now. Nancy's with us, east of the Rockies. Hello, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Oh, Joe, Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Brad.
Hi. I love Boston. I love your accent. Hello, Happy New Year. Oh, it's darling.
Apoctakar.
Great.
Listen, I want to just really quickly thank both of you for what you do for people. You really help people. I'm sure you're aware of it, but yet so many people just work that you do. That are touched by what you do. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thanks.
Now, Brett, I too am an Aquarian, so I have a birthday next month, and this was going to be my question to you. Am I as psychically connected to the other side as I think I am?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're probably. Actually, I'm talking to my better right now. You really are. You don't need me to tell you. Actually, people who are listening to this, if you feel drawn to it, you are. And if you're resisting it, you really are. You know how smart, I want smart people to start doing this. You know, it's like when I lived in this place in Georgia where I was looked at as St. Francis, I was scared because I'm not that good with animals. They were throwing three-legged dogs over my fence. You don't, like as you said, as soon as the words came out of your mouth or Travis's mouth, we look to each other for confirmation, but I see us all as standing shoulder to shoulder looking for the light. It's really going to be cool. This is, I'll say it, the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and I'm not talking about my birth sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really are hooked up. Plus, you got it on both sides of your family. On your mom's side, there were psychics way up. You got a bunch of women that know stuff and a man on your dad's side that was real psychic.
Wow.
Do you use it a lot, Nancy?
It helps me to get through life every day because I think so in tune with when I'm really struggling right now and I'm having a very hard time and it's within my family and we're a very close family.
There's somebody you're helping, an older woman on your dad. Are you right-handed? On your dad's side of the family, I'm seeing an old woman by herself and she is just rooting for you and thanking you. And she likes it when you make other people mad in a good way. You're starting to call people on their stuff. I'm just saying what comes out. She's really skinny with gray hair and she would never say the things that you're saying, but she is delighted that you're starting to sort of tip things over and not be polite. If that makes sense.
Oh, wow. That does. That helps me immensely.
And she says, keep doing it. Yeah.
Now, is that a person that is deceased or somebody who's still alive?
She might be bridging. And by the way, I know that sounds like I know. If I think about this stuff, I would never say anything. When they show up that identifiable, I see living people all the time. I'll see part of someone who's alive. Their better selves will journey to me in spirit. Even if they've been a cantankerous or difficult, like a person I'm with or reading, as you say, that person will visit like a difficult relative or a sibling that gives them a hard time. The better nature, the wounded self will come and say, you're really doing a good job. This particular person doesn't want to take sides. And actually, now that I think about it, no, she's alive. She's alive
she's
and
alive.
Older. She's rooting for the people that Nancy was taking up for. You know, that's a bad thing. Nobody is all bad or all good in this life, but I do, as you asked earlier. I think there's some energies that, look, if evil wore a t-shirt, how easy would that be? If it came in the room, you go, oh, you're terrible. They come in through ways that are slippery. You know, I probably didn't have to turn my whole life over. I probably could have been a good person and not screwed up my wonderful husband and marriage and TV show and give all my money away. I probably could have evolved. I just think I'm sticky fingered and needed to make a little mess to get a big lesson. God didn't require it.
I don't see you ever as being a bad person. Were you?
No, bad person is completely different than doing regrettable things.
True. But we all make mistakes.
Exactly. We make them. And some people make them in the brightest part of the light possible. Or as my mom said to me, like, you know, because we did 112 shows, and I think I remember about 80 of them. And I've had, you know, for all the time that it's been, I'm in no shortage of people still saying things about me. And my mother said, well, eventually people, you're going to have to give yourself permission to forgive yourself. And you're not letting other people down if you do that. So I would want other people to do it. So I had to.
Well, it's gutsy. Gutsy on you coming forward, talking about all this.
Well, I really love people, and life's too short not to get the joke, you know. and to those of you out there, you know, like, don't be afraid of the gift. That's why it's a gift. We didn't ask for it, and it's something good. And if you want to be connected to other people with it, the things will start showing up. Don't be isolated, because that's what makes us drink, and that's what makes us start conjuring up ideas that we don't need.
Well, part of me's waiting for the punchline, but this was real. Let's go to Honolulu. Frederica is with us. Hi, Frederica.
Hi there. How are you? Thank you so much for bringing such dynamism to the paranormal conversation. Your show is so exciting tonight. I know you don't have much time left, so here's my question to you. I'm in the running for an amazing job that would get me back to the East Coast where my home is, and I really want to do that. So I'm wondering what you see about that, if you think I'm going to get that job or maybe another one, or anything else you want to tell me what you see. I got tons of people on the other side, whatever you feel about me in 2015.
Well, what's neat is of all the calls, like, I feel yours. I told George a while ago, I said, there's a big kahuna on the line, you know, and he said, maybe it's this call from Hawaii. Your wingspan is a... Actually, this job that you want to be on the coast more than you want this job, right?
I want to go back home.
I get you.
Hawaii's been an interesting life experience, but it's not where I want to
be. Look, when I'm in Hawaii, after about 30 minutes, I'm looking for the boat back, because it's just, all that nature is just too much. I know, I love it, but, you know, please, I have to go home and get room service. There's another job. It's not just this one. There's another job that is on the East Coast, and... by the way, get out of your head that this is your last chance for this. Just, it's easy for me to say, but breathe if you can, because there's some adjacent job through a guy you used to work with who's in New York. Has somebody maybe brought up another job that you're qualified for but don't think you want? That sounds vague. I hate when psychics do that.
No, I don't know about that.
There's somebody in New York that's a guy who has access to a position. I don't know. Just keep your ears up. I never tell people what they're going to do, but if you want to go home, you can.
I do.
Yeah, you're ready, aren't you?
I got to get the job first.
Well, Frederica, I think you're great, and start writing down your dreams, because you just start writing them down, because people can get this information directly, and you just have a bunch of passed over people trying to tap you on the shoulder and read you stuff. They help, by the way. They help forecast for us.
So what's your next acting job, possibly? Are they knocking on the door yet?
Auditions? Wait, there was something yes, I think. I just got a new agent who actually is talking like I could be hired doing something. I started out in radio with Joey Reynolds in New York.
I
love Joey so much. And he used to have the microphone, and he'd leave the room. And there, it's really what I would love to do. I don't care if it's in Durham, North Carolina, or Pocatello. I really would love a radio thing, just to do that, just to, you know, do this. And, I mean, a sitcom would be great, but am I ever going to get one as good as Grace Under Fire? I don't know.
People love you.
Or do a real-life version of Cops. That would be so cool.
You keep in touch with us, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Brett Butler here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back in a moment. There's more. Don't go away.